And on a sultry Wednesday evening, welcome to the season debut of what is now the Investors Bank High School Football Show, live from Baker's Water Street Grill in downtown Toms River. Kevin Williams, along with Ed Sarluka, Matt Harmon will join us via phone. He's on special assignment tonight, and our special guest who will spend the entire night with us, the award-winning writer for All Shore Media, Scott Stump. Tonight we sort of get you set for the 2013 football season, a season that has actually officially begun with Monsignor Donovan playing a game last week, but we'll certainly get into full swing this weekend. Now, this is normally a Thursday night football show. We are aware it is Wednesday, not Thursday, but because of the Jewish holiday, most of the games this weekend are being played tomorrow night. So to do a high school football show, a preview show, while all the teams are playing would make no sense. So the nice people at Water Street allow us to come in on a Wednesday night. We'll do that tonight, and then starting next week, we'll be here each and every Thursday night from 7 o'clock to 8:30. But it all starts this weekend, full swing. As I said, a laundry list of games on Thursday night, a trio of games on Friday night, a couple on Saturday as well. Our game broadcast, our Sonny's Recycling Friday night game of the week, will be Toms River South at Central on Friday night. We'll talk about that as the evening moves on. But I'm happy to welcome in for the umpteenth time my broadcasting colleague, the coach, Ed Sarluka. Luch, how are you tonight?
Very good, Kevin. And Scott, welcome. Good to get it going. Did attend that game up at Kane University. Monsignor Donovan, St. John Vianney looked real good. So, as you said, season underway, but many games tomorrow. I'll make my annual trek to about four football games this weekend. My wife realizes now she will probably never see me.
Just the way she likes it. We will probably run the gamut of weather this weekend as well. We're going to go from it is summer-like today.
95 today.
Yeah, you know, and tomorrow we're going to get a little front comes through. It looks like we're going to get some showers and thunderstorms. Could be a factor with some of the games tomorrow night. And then Friday fall arrives. It'll be back down into the 70s. And Saturday they're saying maybe a high temperature of 70. But it is here, and, you know, guys, as we start, I want to sort of go back a little bit in time and, you know, and looking a little bit about where we would start with tonight and looking back on last season. You know, it's that season with the asterisk as we approach the year anniversary of Superstorm Sandy. And, of course, it disrupted the high school football schedule and the amount of teams and schools that were impacted, obviously. But maybe the headline for 2012 would have been 0-5. The Shore Conference, which has had a great history in the state playoffs, sent five teams to championship games on the opening weekend in December, and all five fell short, Scott, and for the first time in a long time.
I believe it was 1985 was the last time the Shore just got completely shut out of a state championship. So, yeah, definitely stunning. I mean, yeah, some of them were underdogs. I don't know how many people thought, you know, like a Middletown South was going to go in and beat a strong Sayreville team, although they gave them all they could handle, but I think, you know, Manalapan losing surprised a lot of people. You know, South Brunswick won their first sectional title at Manalapan's expense. And I thought, you know, some of them were surprised. But, yeah, you just never imagine a year. Because I've been doing this, I think this is, let's see, 14 or 15 years. And I've never experienced not covering a team that wasn't, you know, hugging and celebrating at the end of every game. So hopefully the Shore Conference can get back on that track this year. And looking at the way the brackets have been realigned and things like that, I think that it'll only be a one-year drought.
Yeah, you know, it's always tough to do those post-game interviews with the losing coach, you know, as we had to do a few times last winter, I guess it was, the first weekend in December. But we did the Southern and Williamstown game. Now, Williamstown, a real good team. Southern, tremendous job getting to the finals, maybe learn some lessons in that one and looking for a return trip. But the Manalapan game surprised me the most. South Brunswick came in with a couple of losses. Manalapan had suffered through the year before, got back to the championship game, were the favorite, couldn't get it done. And funny how this year they're right back in the same situation. The only difference there is that they've got a new participant in their Central Division Group 5, and that's Sayreville, who drops down from, or moves up from Group 4 to Group 5. So And South Brunswick returns a real good team. So not going to be easy for the Braves this year.
No, I mean, and that's the thing. You look at this, they're a loaded team. And we haven't gotten to the rankings yet, but everybody kind of has assumed they're sort of that number two team behind Red Bank Catholic. And they're going to potentially have to go through a minefield of, you know, Hunterdon Central, Brick Memorial, South Brunswick, and three-time Central Jersey Group 4 champion Sayreville, who's really been their nemesis and had their number, for a couple of years. But there's part of me that thinks Manalpin wouldn't have it any other way, that if you're going to get that first championship in school history, you probably want to do it at the expense of a team that's been a thorn in your side.
If we wrote the headline on the 2012 season before championship weekend, what would the headline stories have been?
Well, certainly, like you mentioned, Hurricane Sandy was just such a major thing, you know, especially at particular schools like, you know, Manasquan, Point Beach, whose towns or in sending districts were just devastated, and there was just so much emotion wrapped up in their playoff games. And I remember being at that Manasquan game where they had a fundraiser for Sandy, and people whose homes were still destroyed came there, and Manasquan came back and beat Rumson in the fourth quarter to qualify for the state playoffs, kind of right on the cutoff, and it was just a really emotional event. So certainly I think that was a big highlight. And, you know, Point Beach in general.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
You know, I mean, they're
the story
a team
of the year.
They looked like they were going to go 12-0 and have the dream season. As we know, they made it to Florence in the Central Jersey Group 1 semifinals and lost an absolute heartbreaker at home, you know, to the team that eventually won the bracket by beating Shore Regional. But you know, the ascent of Point Beach under Coach John Wagner in 2 years, the fact that they have 18-4 in 2 years, the best two-year stretch in the history of a program that goes back to the 1920s. I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, and obviously now the big challenge is they graduated a tremendous senior class that made up their whole backfield, a lot of their defense in line. But Coach Wagner feels pretty confident that the wins are going to keep coming there, and you got to believe him after what he's done the last 2 years.
Yeah, I'll go with two things. I think the Point Beach story was a tremendous story, and again, we did that football game in the semifinals, played at Beach, so they had everything going. They lost their star and the Shore one of the top Shore
Danny
Conference
Todd.
Offensive
yeah.
players of the year, leading rusher in the Shore Conference early in that football game. They never really recovered from that. Kept it close, but couldn't get there at the end. And then I think maybe perhaps even a bigger story came after the season and over the winter with the mass exodus of many transfer players from one school to the other. And, you know, during the course of the night, we'll talk about some of these transfers. But you basically really need a program to see who's where.
It was
right?
A busy offseason of free agency.
Oh, you know,
there was a point where I was going to start a transactions column on our website every week to kind of try and keep people updated about who was attending what school that week.
And, you know, that's no laughing matter, because the state of New Jersey, for some reason, has basically washed their hands, you know, in all these transfers. And, you know, there are a couple of situations where, you know, you would think that there's no way this kid's going to be eligible right away. And sure enough, everybody is.
Yeah. Well, part of as we close 2012 and look ahead to 2013, I think, you know, one of the interesting scenarios is you have 43 schools in the Shore Conference that play football. 10 of them have new coaches. That is a huge turnover. I'm sure there's been bigger.
I don't know.
I mean, that's almost a quarter of the teams.
So it's as big as it can be. And interestingly enough, you know, the coaching changes for a variety of reasons. Coaches, you know, stepping down. Coaches stepping down because time to spend with family. A lot of them with young kids or kids who are even getting to high school. Like, I want to watch my kid play. Coaches moving other places, coaching to getting administrative jobs, and in some cases at the 11th hour and having to leave, you know. So you have 10 schools with new coaches, and, you know, some of them were assistants in school, you know, so that helps a little bit, but some are coming from the outside. So, you know, let's just kind of take a quick look at that, and we'll sort of do it in alphabetical order. Asbury Park, which has a tendency to move coaches from head coach to coordinator. Matt Artizone, who had been the three-year head coach, stays on as the offensive coordinator. And Keith Kalea becomes the head coach and takes over a 6-4 team, a team with a great winning heritage.
Yeah, and in the interest of full disclosure, Keith is actually my old high school freshman football teammate from Red Bank Catholic in the 1990s. So happy for him that he's going to get a head spot. He actually previously was an assistant with Asbury Park under Don Solfokanik when they had the run of three straight Central Jersey Group 1 titles. So he knows all about the expectations, which are win a state title and beat Neptune, and not necessarily even in that order.
Kev, you think Keith put that on his resume that he played football his freshman year at RBC with us?
Up till this point, it's the highlight of his life. He's hoping that changes sometime during the course of the fall.
That thing is redacted. It's blacked out like the Nixon files.
At my alma mater, Central Regional High School, Vince Casal, who's also the athletic director and did both for 5 years, is decided to just do the AD's job. Willie Jacobs, who had been the defensive coordinator and a former Central player and a pretty good coaching resume in his own right, takes over a team that was 3-6. What do we expect there? We'll see him Friday night.
Well, we'll see him Friday. I think they got a tough opener in Toms River South. Last year at Toms River South, they pulled off a major upset with a last-second field goal. And I don't know if they have the horses this year. I think the Indians have the horses, and as we'll discuss later on when we get to the A South. But that's going to be a tough opener for Willie Jacobs.
Speaking of tough, of the 10, the one that is the gut check one is at Jackson Liberty, where stunningly and suddenly last spring, Tim Osborne, the only coach in the history of the program for 6 years, passed away of a heart attack. Just a devastating loss for the school, the community, obviously his family, and all of us who follow Shore Conference football. Jim Sharples, an assistant coach there, elevated from a coordinator position. They stay in-house. He takes over, and maybe the shoes he fills are the biggest because of all the ramifications, Scott.
Right. I mean, it's just such a hard, I guess, comparison for him. You know, it's going to be really difficult to step up and be the guy, like the guy who started the program from scratch and led them to their first state playoff appearance last year and their best season in school history. But I also think, you know, that's the smart choice in the sense that they wanted to have some continuity. I think bringing in a whole new staff in the wake of that would have been difficult. And you talk to the players, and I think they liked the fact that Coach Sharples was the guy who got the job, because everybody became so close-knit in the wake of that tragedy that, you know, that's what they needed to do to move forward.
6-4 a year ago, the Lions were. Keensburg's Brian Kamak, after 10 years, has decided to step down. That's a case of a guy who wants to spend more time with the family. They were 4-5. Chris Damian, a St. John Vianney graduate who had been an assistant coach on the staff at Monmouth University, takes his first head coaching job, the challenge of taking over Keensburg.
Yeah. Tough spot there. A school that's got a little tradition in it, you know, but tough place to coach. And, Kingsburg got hit with some, problems with the storm last year, and had some problems. But K-Mac, still in the school, still the baseball coach. So, you know, look for him to maybe help out a little bit, help Chris out a little bit.
Titans 4-5 a year ago at Marlboro. Derek Siniski, after 5 years, steps down at 4-6. They were a year ago. Jason Degato takes over, Scott.
Yeah, he was a defensive coordinator last year. And, you know, the thing with Marlboro is they had a 4-6 season last year, which for them, I mean, they haven't had, this is a program that hasn't had a winning season since 1999. The question for them has been continuity. They will have the seasons where it looks like they're on the verge or something, but then graduation losses, you know, send them tumbling back to 1-9 or 2-8. So it's really his challenge to try and put together a couple quality seasons back to back, start getting some momentum.
Steve Bush has an outstanding coaching resume, has even spent some time in the NFL. He's the first year head coach at Middletown North, replacing Joe Trezza, who after 7 years has stepped down, still coaching as an assistant. 2-8 a year ago. Always kind of tough to be the second team in Middletown.
Yeah, I think this is one of the more interesting changes there. You know, Trezza didn't get it going, as you said, always playing second fiddle to Middletown South, where he came over from, you know, as an assistant. Just couldn't, you know, get the Lions, to the promised land. So Steve Bush, like you said, Monmouth University, right?
And he was actually an assistant with the Miami Dolphins. His resume is tremendous.
Yes,
you know,
he's got all
he won championships at Manalapan in the late 90s, so he's familiar with the Shore Conference. I just thought the big thing with him is he beat out some other pretty big names who we won't necessarily have to mention on the air for that job, but you know, this is a guy with a great track record, so you got to feel like if someone can really
can
get the ball
it,
rolling in the right direction there, it's Bush.
Well, the next two coaches are new faces in new places, but not necessarily new faces. At Monmouth Regional, Jason Morrell had been there 3 years. They were 2-8 a year ago. He got an administrative job late, like 3 days before practice began. And Rich Mosca, a very familiar name in Shore football circles, comes to the rescue.
Well, that's my old good friend, still a good friend. I coached with Rich at Keyport High School when we all started our careers with George Conte up at Keyport. Then, of course, he went on to Middletown South. Then he was the head coach, I want to say, for maybe 10 or 15 years at FDU, you know, up north at the college. So he's got many, you know, years experience. Was at Monmouth for a couple years helping out. Jason asked him to help out. He did. He's retired from teaching now, of course. So Rich says,
give it a shot.
Just for the kids' sake,
yep,
I'll do it.
Sean DeRosa was at Pinelands for 9 years. The last couple were brutal. Winless the last two seasons. Losing streak has reached over 20. Brian Wilkinson comes in. Brian, a head coach who had success at Toms River High School South, had been an assistant the last couple of years at Toms River East, and certainly a difficult spot on a program that is just dying for a W.
No one inherits a taller order than Coach Wilkinson. I mean, I believe their losing streak is 21 games.
I think it's 21.
Yes, 21. Yeah.
So, I mean, he has the most difficult rebuilding job of anybody, just as far as changing the attitude, first of all, and getting those players believing they could win, and then helping, you know, to bump up the numbers and build depth. So it's a program that's traditionally struggled throughout its history. I believe Pinelands only won, like, one division title ever. So,
and that was, you know, a ways back.
Yeah, and that was in the 80s, I believe.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a tough job, but, you know, I'm sure Coach Wilkinson, talking to him, he's enthusiastic about taking on the challenge.
And then, of course, you say, okay, Brian, you got the job, but, oh, by the way, we open with Lacey on week one.
Piece of cake. Shane Fallon, of all the coaches we have talked about, the departing coaches, is the one that really had the most success, had really built a program at his alma mater, Rumson Fairhaven. 15 years there, over 100 wins, 7-3 a year ago, but after 15 years, he moves on, trying to better his career. Brian Batchelor takes over, and those are big shoes to fill.
Right, and Coach Batchelor was, you know, an assistant under him during this big run, so I think that at least helps with the continuity. A lot of the staff is still intact, so, you know, I think for the players, it's not any sort of shock to the system, and it's really on Batchelor's shoulders to basically just keep the machine humming and try and get them to that next level. Obviously, the next level for them is competing with RBC, which at this point is a tall order for any Shore Conference team, and also, you know, getting back to the championship game in Central Jersey Group 2 after making a first-round exit last year.
And among, Ed, the most interesting of the coaching changes in the circumstances, you know, we talked about kidding around about transfers and free agents. Chip LaBarca, the head coach at Toms River North for 7 years, 6-4 a year ago, had a lot of success there, no question about it.
State championship.
Yep. Toms River Schools implement a policy that administrators can no longer be coaches in the district. Kind of forces his hand. So he's out as the head coach. The Mariners hired Dave Ozowitz, a LaBarca assistant for many years and a former defensive coordinator. And then LaBarca heads over to Brick to become an assistant coach with the Green Dragons. And, oh, by the way, brings his nephew, who happens to be the quarterback, which we'll talk about a little bit later on. So there are some strange circumstances there.
Very, very strange. And, you know, puts Dave in the hole right off the bat because you lose an outstanding quarterback. Carmen Scalfani ran for 1,000 and passed for 1,000. As a sophomore, you think to yourself, well, I've got a quarterback for the next 2 years. Then all of a sudden he transfers to Old Brick with the his uncle Chip LaBarca Jr. So tough situation for Dave, but outstanding, one of the top defensive coaches in the Shore. Will build around a solid defense and hope the offense, who will be coached by his brother, by the way, Mike Ozowitz.
Meantime, by the way, there are other transfers that left as well. We'll get to that a little bit later
on. Yeah, Toms River North lost about 8 or 9 kids.
So So, I mean, there are your 10 new faces, not necessarily all new faces, but coaches in new situations. And I'll just throw this at you before we take a break and then get into the divisions. Of those 10, who would you guess has the greatest chance of having immediate success?
I would say Brian Batchelor at Rumson. You know, I certainly think that program's at a level where they expect to win 7-8 games and compete for a state title every year.
So the cupboard's not bare. Shane didn't
absolutely
leave the
not. I mean,
there.
They have, I believe, 9 or 10 of 11 starters or 9 of 11 starters back on defense, including Donald Bedell, who's headed to Rutgers, and a tremendous group of linebackers. So I think they'll be right in the hunt as
And
usual.
I'll put a close second with Kalia from
Asbury
Park.
Okay.
Good program there.
Ed Sarluka and Scott Stump join me, Matt Harmon, a little bit later on. We've got all the regular features we've done in the past. We'll pick some games towards the end. I'll let Ed and Scott wage their annual top 10 battle. I'm going to stay out. I'm just going to referee that one. And then we'll take a look at the divisions around the Shore Conference. We'll do that when we return from this break. You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on 105.7 The Hawk. And presented by Investors Bank, where banking They are banking in your best interest. Kevin Williams, Ed Sarluka, Scott Stump here at the Water Street Grill in Tom's River, along with Tom Tremblay, making sure everything works here. Ray Malaspina doing a great job back at the studios of 105.7 The Hawk. Class B North, or Class B Central, rather, sometimes referred to as the small school division. And they are the smallest schools in the Shore Conference. Point Beach certainly didn't play small last year, going 10-1 overall, 5-0 and winning the division title. The other schools, and we'll give the order of where they finished last year, Shore, Asbury, Seaport, Keensburg, and Modern Day. Scott, I'll let you sort of delve into this one. And, you know, we talked a little bit about the Point Beach story from last year. What do you think is the story this year?
Well, again, this division to me, last year it was a two-horse race. You know, it was Point Beach and Shore Regional, came down to Thanksgiving. You could certainly see that again this year. I do think Asbury Park will be a factor with, you know, Robert Barksdale, three-year starter at quarterback, Daquan Bland-Bennett in the backfield, and Tyquise Davis in the backfield. The real question with them is, you know, a lot of new guys up front on both sides of the ball. Are they going to block people? So, you know, I still think it's really going to be those three teams or maybe a little bit above the rest of the division, and they'll be slugging it out for the title.
Well, I think we could label quarterback division because there are some outstanding quarterbacks in this division. I think led by Keyport's quarterback, Alex Thompson. He is a good one. He's about, what, 6'6", Scott?
Yes,
and I
6'5".
Saw him last year play against Point Beach. You know, unfortunately, the line, not real tough last year. He was running for his life in a lot of that game, but very big-time arm. You've got Jake Fioretti back at Beach, like you mentioned, Barksdale.
Matt Mew, committed
the
to Bucknell.
Transfer from Bishop R. From Homedale, who came last year. He's a tough one, you know. So a lot of good quarterbacks in this division. I think it's among those three, though, Asbury, Beach, and Shore.
I think the other question, too, is will the bottom of the division be improved? You know, yeah. Keensburg is interesting in that they do have a new coach in Chris Damian, but they got hit pretty hard by graduation. Almost their entire lineup was right. Seniors. So, you know, and in a town that's all of 1 square mile, it's not always easy to just have reinforcements at a small group on school, though they do have some talented players. And then, you know, Modern Day Prep is kind of an intriguing team because they have, a couple transfers from up in North Jersey, a couple incoming freshmen from out of the area that, you know, they're really looking to finally start getting some wins and making noise.
Yeah, I think the one school that maybe could pull off an upset over those top three is probably Keyport and the rich tradition there that Mike Ciccatelli yep. has created at Keyport. He's won many state titles. Another interesting fact about this division is that, for instance, let's take Point Beach. Four of their games are out of area schools. You know, they just don't have enough small schools down here in the Shore that are competitive with Point Pleasant Beach. So they've got to go out, you know, Cardinal McCarrick, Dunellen, Spotswood, you know, Highland Park, schools that nobody knows down in the Shore.
Yeah.
Sometimes they see the same schools in the playoff time.
But I also think, too, in a tough way, if you're the small school division and you're looking for that respect in the wider Shore Conference, you kind of want to be able to get a shot at some teams from Shore Conference teams from other divisions. You know, Shore Regional gets a shot at Rumson yeah. to show, hey, you know, we can play with these guys. And, you know, you kind of wish Point Beach had some of those games against maybe some of the better Group 2s in the
yeah,
Shore.
Yeah, they don't, though.
Yeah, it's tough. They're kind of a tough team to figure out because they're really only playing B Central and then these teams that we don't really know a whole lot about. I mean, last year, clearly, you know, they demolished everyone in their path until they had a hard-fought game with Shore Regional to win that division title and then another tough loss. But, yeah, the question with them is, can they replace an outstanding backfield? I mean, Kyle Sammartino, Andre Cochran, Danny Tai. I mean, that... What group was more productive than them on the ground last year?
Let's put it this way. Point Beach had more players in the All-Shore game than they've ever had before, right?
Had to be.
Than big-time schools like Brick, you know,
or
Toms River North, and
that was a good lineman, Quinn Cusma. I mean, that was a very talented team.
I will give you one name to look out for, and that's the new running back that expected to take Ty's place at Beach. That's Mike Fronheim, who is the grandson of Pierce Fronheim, the all-time winning coach from Immaculata High School, who is now retired. So Pierce will be down here watching his grandson play. He transferred in from, I forget where he was, up north somewhere, but only a junior. He's big. And in that wing T offense, expect him to.
And I think Coach Wagner also expects some good things out of Joe Wagrzniak, the junior who started at linebacker last year, will be at fullback this year as kind of their power back in that offense. So, you know, I think the feeling, you know, they know that maybe the outside perception is a lot of people graduated, it's not going to be what it was, but I think they're really eager to show we've built a program here that can withstand graduation and keep winning.
Give me a division champ. You got one shot at it.
Shore Regional.
Wow, look at that. In chorus. Okay, Mark Costantino.
Yeah.
One of the more successful coaches in the Shore.
Got to the finals last year. Lost
a tough one to Florence.
Double overtime.
Absolutely.
In which he was stopped, I believe.
Fourth and inches.
Did not make it. They were going in for the possibly winning touchdown.
Class B North is next. The defending champions there. Well, actually, it was a tie. Neptune and Long Branch both finished 5-1 in the division, followed by Mattawan, who was 4-2. Ocean, Red Bank, Wall, and Freehold Borough rounded out that division. Neptune has been very good under Mark Ciccatelli. Will Neptune be very good again?
They are one of the bigger question marks in the Shore just because there's few teams that got hit as hard by graduation as they did. They lost all 11 starters on offense and 8 of 11 on defense. And, I mean, and these are kids like Ajay Patterson, who was the Offensive Player of the Year at quarterback last year, and, you know, just some tremendous all-shore-level players. Keith Kirkwood, who's starting as a freshman at wideout at the University of Hawaii
already. And scored a touchdown already.
Right, and Jeff Fairbanks, a first-team all-shore wide receiver who's now at New Haven with Patterson. So a lot of talent to replace. And I guess it's the question of, was there just more talent sitting behind these stuff behind these guys, or will they, you know, maybe struggle in the early going as so many newcomers have to get acclimated? I mean, Shaquem Richardson, you talk about big shoes to fill. The last two Neptune quarterbacks have won Shore Conference Offensive Player of the Year, Patterson and Jaheim Woods. So, you know, that's a lot on his shoulders. He started at defensive back last couple of years, also a talented basketball player, so he's going to step in at quarterback.
Yeah, I saw Neptune in the preseason in one of their scrimmages, and they struggled a little bit at quarterback. You know, when you're used to having Woods, Patterson, you know, the last couple of years, tough shoes to fill, as you said. It'll be interesting to see if Richardson can do that. But speed to burn, you know, a lot of speed on the football field, and one of the top coaches around in Mark Ciccatelli. So, you know, I expect them to be in the hunt for a title.
The rest of the division. And is this the year a lot of people think Ocean makes a big move this year?
Yeah, I mean, certainly there's a lot of buzz around that team given the backfield. I mean, Tyler Thompson, who I wrote a story on for our website earlier this summer, he's already getting, you know, notice from Alabama and Penn State and this. And he got an offer from Temple as a freshman, which I can't remember any Shore Conference player ever being offered as a freshman. So the question, he ran for 1,000 yards as a freshman. The last one to do that was Sean Moreno.
Yeah.
So I think the thing is, can he take that big leap from, you know, a quality back to just a game-changing, you know, we cannot stop this guy back? And I think the thing that's going to determine a lot of that is they moved Royal Moore, the junior, from wide receiver to quarterback, installed the zone read offense because Moore's also a great athlete who can run. Want to try and keep defenses honest because I think last year they just stacked the box against Thompson and they weren't able to hurt teams in the air. Moore actually can throw the ball pretty well. I mean, the main question marks that's been raised about that team are they going to block people? How good are they up front? And are they going to stop people defensively? And, I mean, they have a lot of their defense back. I think Dan Loizos is going to be one of the best linebackers in the Shore Conference, a four-year varsity player.
Absolutely.
So you're right. I mean, the hype is definitely surrounding that team heading into the season.
Also like Don Klein a lot.
Yeah, and you know what? And he's had a couple
coach.
Of tough years. And, you know what? I think they're poised to have a little bit of a breakout year. Long Branch. Kind of a team that I think a lot of people are very unsure
Opinions
of.
Opinions vary.
Yes.
You talk to some coaches and they say, that's the best team in B North. They should win. You talk to other coaches and say, you know what? I saw them in the preseason. They didn't look that good.
Yeah.
And I think the main question for them is they have an entirely new offensive line. And I think it's two sophomores, a junior, and two seniors. So for them, that is going to be a major, you know, X factor because Damir Willis, who started in the secondary last year as a sophomore, is going to move to fullback. He's a very talented runner. And then Deion Williams, who formed a great 1-2 punch with Jaceel Jackson last year, he returns. You know, they have Shabazz Schuler, who is the cousin of Miles Schuler, the former star there who was at Rutgers, now transferring. But, you know, so it seems like they have the skill players. Are they going to block? You know, and how? And I think Coach Danny George felt like their defense in the early going is going to have to carry them. Hunter Bailey, their junior defensive end, is one of the best young defensive players in the Shore Conference. Saquon Gwaltney, a senior D end who was kind of hurt last year, transferred from Irvington. They like some big things out of him. Williams will be at linebacker. So I think maybe in the early going they're going to need their defense, but they got to start with Manasquan. So I would think we're going to find out kind of where they're at right away.
The other team in that division that's accustomed to being the top of the pecking order is Mattawan. A lot of people think this could be a rebuilding there for John Kay.
Without a doubt it will be. I ran into one of their assistant coaches, longtime assistant coach, and you know, he gave me a little inside information. Only 14 kids on the freshman football team at Mattawan, unheard of before. I mean, going to be hard to fill out a football team with 14 kids. Very young on the varsity, had not looked good at this point when I ran into him about 10 days ago. I look for Mattawan to maybe struggle a little bit. Of course, the second year now without Joe Martucci, who moved on to the college ranks. I think it's Ocean's turn to step up, you know, and win a championship.
Of the other three, Red Bank, Wall, and Freehold, you know, Wall's a team that's had a tremendously great winning heritage. You know, relatively new coach there, Nick Gregorio, second year?
Correct.
Better?
I think Wall should be a little bit better because they were decimated by graduation heading into last
year. The year
season.
Before, yeah.
So now they return an experienced lineup. They've been with Coach Gregorio now. They have a whole off season with him, so I think that's definitely going to help. I think their main question was scoring on higher level teams. I mean, they had some games where they scored, but I think it was, you know, can they score against a Neptune and a Long Branch consistently enough to beat teams like that? And I also think, you know, Freehold Borough's in a similar situation that they have some quality guys back. And not that 7-on-7 is the all-end-all, but they had some nice-looking skill players there.
Sure
I think
did.
Josh Dixon, their junior running back, is a kid that people want to keep an eye on.
Well, that's another team I saw in the preseason scrimmage. Freehold Borough, very impressed with Brad Jones, their quarterback. Very good arm. I mean, put the ball on the money quite a few times in that scrimmage that I saw. I think they surprise. And if you look at their schedule, Scott, Lakewood, Mattawan, Wall, before they draw non-con in RBC. But they could be, with any kind of break, 3-0 going into that RBC game, which, a game they're not supposed to win. But I'd like to see them get off 2-1 or 3-0.
Well, don't forget, too, the seniors on this team were sophomores when they won a state championship.
Yeah,
with Mark Ciccatelli as the head coach. So I mean, they've experienced that feeling. They know what it's like to be on top. So I think that helps to a degree. And, yeah, I think their opener against Lakewood, which is at the odd time, right?
3 o'clock tomorrow. I'll be there.
Yeah, the after-school special.
Yeah.
That that I think is going to be a huge confidence boost. One, you know,
for either team,
for either, because
right.
you know, Lakewood's on the rise.
All right. Well, speaking of Lakewood, let's go to the toss 'em up in the air division, better known as Class B South. Really, maybe you know, one of the more confusing divisions. You know, rarely does someone just say, "Oh, that's nobody's going to play with them." Last year, Monsignor Donovan surprised many by winning the division title, the first in some 20 years, at 6-1 in the division, a game ahead of Barnegat, Lakewood, and Jackson Liberty. Point Borough is a game back of them. Central Manchester and Pinelands were at the bottom rung of that one.
It was such a weird division last year because Barnegat's quarterback, St. John Erskine, wasn't eligible for 30 days because he transferred from Holy Spirit, along with Sam Madden, the tremendous two-way lineman. Lakewood had games where their star, Tyrese Beverett, missed some big games. They lost to Mondon in a game he didn't play. Jackson Liberty moved Matt Castronova to quarterback the middle
mid-season.
To the later of the season. They were a different team after that happened. So it was just a very weird division week to week. But this year, I think it's going to be a better division this year than it was. I felt like last year it was the weakest division in the Shore. You know, so I think this year, though, with the returning players they've got on a lot of these front-running teams, that you know, it'll be a stronger division. And clearly the most buzz coming into the season is about Barnegat.
Yeah, I put a lot of pressure on Barnegat. I made him my number five team in the Shore preseason. Scott disagreed with me vehemently on that one. But, you know, I said, okay, it's time, Robbie Davis, head coach Robbie Davis, to put up or shut up. I mean, this is the year. St. John, like you said, just never got it going last year to what he wanted to do because he missed those first, four or five games.
Yep.
So, tremendous arm. I saw him against Manasquan. They handled Manasquan pretty good. Now, I don't care who played for Manasquan. Manasquan's at one of the top programs in the Shore. Great arm. I compared him to Brian Boland. Big, strong, lefty, rocket arm, very accurate, and can tuck the ball and run. Got all the attributes.
And now with Manny Bowen added
as a
weapon. Nice. Manny Bowen makes him a, you know,
nice transfer.
Oh, tremendous. He came over from Central, his third school, by the way, in 3 years, Southern, Central, yep. And now Barnegat. Good kid. Lives with St. John Erskine's family.
Yep.
You know, they took him in, had some family problems. Seems to be on the straight and narrow now. Caught two bombs against Manasquan that I saw. Caught another one in the scrimmage before that. A deep threat, stretches the field, makes Barnegat even
and
tougher on the ground.
And they're massive up front. And they
Moran,
have their tailback,
yeah.
A.J. Opry back, who ran for almost 1,000
yards. I think
this
is the year they step up, Kev, and win it.
All right, as you guys wax poetic about Barnegat and Robbie Davis, but there's a lot of talent in this division. And the team that had a breakthrough year last year, and a lot of people feel is not a one-hit wonder. I mean, Tyrese Beverett was one of the best athletes in the Shore, and he's gone. But Lakewood's got a lot of guys coming back.
Yeah, it's the transformation of that program is just remarkable.
Let me just interrupt. When we were talking about Pinelands going 21 games without a win, that was Lakewood.
32 years ago.
Remember that senior class from last year, they were on those teams. You know, and there were a lot of people, I among them, that called for the program to be discontinued. Thought it didn't serve anything.
I remember going to the preseason practice their year under Coach Warren Wolf. They had 15 players at practice one day. Now you go there, 45. Almost 50.
And, of course, the leader of that is the enthusiastic L.J. Clark.
Absolutely. I mean, a Lakewood grad, a tireless, promoter of Lakewood football,
yep.
You know, whatever he can do to get the name of his program out there, he's just so passionate about turning that thing around. You know, he was a part of it. He knows what it was like to be a winning player there, and he wants to bring that back. And, you know, they have Chappelle Cook returning at tailback, already has an offer from Temple, also a good linebacker, Amir Tyler, a sophomore. I mean, their D-line, Ben Watson, you know, 6'7", I think, 330 now. You know, he has a couple, you know, FBS and FCS offers. You have Detrell Reed, the junior next to him, who had 10 sacks last year. Maurice Diawara on the other side. So, as you said, the cupboard is far from bare. I think it's more, you know, can you replace a big void at quarterback that Beverett leaves? I mean, Ivan Marks, the transfer from Manchester, steps in there. And can you replace his intangibles? I mean, I can't think of a better leader in the Shore, a player who more kids rallied around in difficult situations
Absolutely.
Than Beverett.
Yeah, I think you said it there. That transfer from Manchester helped Lakewood out a lot. Mark's coming in to be their quarterback to replace Beverett, you know. And remember, Beverett, you know, there he missed quite a few games last year when with his dehydration problem and things like that. So they're used to not playing with him. You know, 2-8, I believe, 2 years ago, L.J. Clark was. Won 7 games last year, the biggest turnaround. As
right, and now they're coach of the year.
Yeah. Right, and now they're big. Thing is, we need to prove it's not a fluke, because exactly. I think a lot of people are wondering, was that a one-time deal?
We touched a little bit on Monsignor Donovan early in the show because they had played last week. You know, they're a school that benefited. They lost some very good players to graduation. Lyman is at North Carolina and a running back who rushed for well over 1,000 yards. But, you know, they've got Grasso back at quarterback, and they were a team that benefited by some transfers, notably from Toms River North. In Fields and Carrington, two game you know game changing players, but they've got to replace some linemen. They showed a lot of weakness on defense last week. Do they deserve to be rated as the team? Would they be the preseason favorite?
No,
you both like. I know you both
like Barnegat.
Where's Donovan fit in the mix?
I think they're the
third.
Second best.
I think, Lakewood?
I think Lakewood will
challenge
them. Well, Lakewood, Mondon, 2-3. I saw the game last week. Vinny Grasso, outstanding, runs the flex bone outstandingly. He had close to 150 yards. When he calculated his stats, he had some losses there running the football, or passing the football, some sacks, so they are negative against his run totals. But couldn't stop him on the ground, St. John Vianney. Vinny's problem? Got to get the ball downfield to Carrington. He's a home run threat.
But you got to get him the ball.
Got to get him the ball. Couldn't do that last week. He's got to be able to throw the deep ball in order to get 9 people out of the box. Joey Fields, I think, has an outstanding year this year. He's tough. He's quick. He was good last year.
He had 3
River
touchdowns
North.
In the opener.
Yeah,
against
I mean, he
St.
ran tough. He looks like the team is together. You know, Jimmy Cleveland at tight end and defensive end, you know, whenever they do run a tight end, not too often.
I think that's part of it, too, though. I mean, when you have 6 or 7 of your 11 starters from somewhere else that you're meshing with everybody.
So maybe the bye for them this week is good, actually.
I think it is crucial. And, you know, you look at them last year, their season was they were excellent against B-South, struggled against everyone else. So we'll see when they get to division play.
Jackson, Liberty, Point Borough, Central, Manchester, and Pinelands. Kind of just give us a quick synopsis.
Point Borough, I think their schedule works in their favor. Monmouth, Pinelands, and Central very easily could be 3-0 going into week 4, and that's the big one with Asbury Park. You know, I don't know. I think they take a little step back. They had some great athletes last year. Don't know if they'll be as good as last year, but I think their schedule works in their favor. Sean Henry, good football coach.
I think Manchester is an interesting team to keep an eye on. They have Kayshawn Barnes, you know, transferring
from Mattawan.
You know, Devin Tomei's back at quarterback after throwing for, I believe, 1,500 yards last year. So they have some weapons. They have some speed. They took their lumps with a young team last year. They could be an improved team that gives people some trouble.
We mentioned Jackson Liberty, the tough circumstances there for Jim Sharples. Does have an outstanding quarterback in Matt Castronova, and had learned how to win a little bit last year. We'll see if that carries over. Willie Jacobs, the new coach at Central, you know, he's got some talent.
Marquise Drumright at quarterback.
Yeah, and know, we're going to see him Friday night. Looking forward to
tall, good athlete.
Good athlete. You know, so see if that changes. Of course, we talked a little bit about Pinelands and the difficult task there for Coach Brian Wilkinson. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going from B to A. Guys on deck is Class A Central. We continue to preview the 2013 Shore Conference football season right here on the Investors Bank High School Football Show on 105.7 The Hawk. And presented by Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Kevin, Ed, and Scott here at Baker's Water Street Grill on just a beautiful summer Wednesday evening. Normally a Thursday night football show, but because of the schedule this week with the Jewish holiday, we're here tonight. We'll be back next Thursday, and we move over to Class A Central. And, of course, the three letters that have been the predominant letters on the shore the last couple of years are B, C, and no one expects this year to be any different, but this is a division with some very talented football teams and ones that have done very well over the years, followed by Rumson, St. John Vianney, Manasquan, Holmdel, Monmouth, and Raritan. And will they be saying RBC again this fall?
I think there's no doubt. I mean, they're number one in the top ten. They've won, 24 in a row now against the Shore Conference. If anything, people are starting to talk about should they break away and start playing a non-Shore Conference schedule. I mean, they've just been so dominant, and I think the scary thing is this year's team could be better than last year's team. But the only question is, will the results be different? You know, they've won 10 games the last two seasons, a school record. You know, they've gotten to the semifinals of non-public Group 3 and run into Del Barton or, you know, the juggernaut at St. Joe's. So I think in their mind, yes, they want to handle their business in the division and win that, but it's can they get to that next level and compete with those teams?
One thing I like is Jim Portella makes no mistake. We're not content without winning the whole thing. We're not looking to compete with the bigger teams. We're looking to beat them.
Yeah, as he always says, why can't we have a dream of winning a
That's
state
right.
championship like every other team?
Because we used to take on the whole thing. Well, RBC, the best they can possibly do is get to the semifinals, maybe the finals. They can't win it, you know,
right.
And he's kind of raised the bar. But, again, there are other teams in this division, teams that have won championships before. Ed, who scares them a little this year?
Well, probably Manasquan, I guess you'd have to put there. You know,
they played them to a 10-0 game last year.
You know, I guess, you know, when you get to the point where RBC is, of course, they've been number one the last 2 years in the Shore, even though they haven't won a state championship. You know, I'm one that believes that last year's 42-7 drubbing was kind of disappointing. You know, they lost to, again, the state power, you know, St. Joe Montvale. But I was kind of disappointed in that score. I expected them to do a little bit better. I thought they were prime last year. They're going to be prime this year. I think the same thing could happen this year. But as you said, Jim Portella wants to take that next step. I don't think it's a successful season unless he does.
He's got a big boy up front, too.
Oh,
he's got a couple of big boys. Up.
Yeah,
he's
I mean,
top prospect.
It's funny because usually Coach Portella kind of is not prone to hyperbole.
Down
talk to him and he says, we're humongous up front.
Yeah.
You know, we were 260 last year. We were going to be bigger than that. They could be 270 across. I mean, Quentin Nelson at 305 pounds, 6'5", headed to Notre Dame. I wrote a story on him in our preview issue about how there's talk about he may be the best offensive line prospect in the modern history of the Shore Conference. I mean, coaches rave about him like he's the best high school
could have gone to any school in the country.
They've seen. And Tim O'Hara, another senior, he's got multiple 1AA or FCS offers. You know, they're just – and the other scary thing about them is not only are they big, they're deep. They will cycle in four or five more linemen who are 250, 260 pounds and can all play. And I think that's what really just kills teams is your guys are trying to play the whole game and they're just rotating in fresh guys. I think the biggest thing for them was can they add a passing game to their pounding running attack? Because when they faced St. Joe's last year, it really became apparent, you know, and Coach Portella even noted, our passing game is going to have to get better if we're going to start competing with these teams up here.
Throw me out some other players in the division. Because RBC obviously is the heavy favorite, but give me some of the other players in this division.
Well, Joe Murphy, the running back from Manasquan, supposed to be a very good football player. Did not play in the scrimmage I saw against Barnegat the other day. Didn't play a lot, I should say.
The Vianney quarterback, obviously,
yeah,
Billy D'Amato, played well last week.
Impressed.
For 2,000 yards last
year.
Right. You know, in their run-and-shoot offense, you know, very exciting type of offense that Andy Carlstrom, you know. I remember him coming down here 1 year. Remember a couple years ago when he was at Homedale. Good football coach. Very into the football game. It was 40-7, maybe 14 last week with a few minutes to go, and he was all over the official, I mean, in his face on late hits or something. The flag went up. I said, oh, he's going to get thrown out in his football game. But referee was cool. You know, I respected him. He just gave him a warning. He said, coach, step back. I'm defending my kids. You know, I just had a laugh at that point. It was 40. He had 40 points on the board. But D'Amato's got a good arm.
Absolutely. And I think the question now is, you know, can he do it against the elite defenses? They've struggled a little bit against, you know, Rumson and RBC. But he certainly is capable. And as we saw last week, a lot more efficient, you know, for a high percentage, smart throws. So clearly he's been working hard and got better. I mean, other players, Donald Bedell, the defensive end for Rumson, headed to Rutgers.
How about Frank Condito, the
at Homedale
junior Homedale. From linebacker.
He's a tough kid.
Ran for 1,000 yards as a sophomore,
right.
Also a 1AA prospect as a linebacker.
And don't forget, they upset Barnegat last year in a game that Barnegat was heavily favored.
Week one. And don't forget Pat Toll, the two-way lineman for Raritan, committed to Old Dominion, should be one of the better linemen in the Shore.
Class A Central. Now let's quick move over to Class A North before we get to the top of the hour. And that has been Manalapan's baby the last couple of years. And last year was no different. The Braves went 11-1 overall, 6-0 in the division. Right behind them, the Colts neck. Great season for Greg LaCava last year with the Cougars. They were second in the division, 9-2 overall. Middletown South and their incredibly successful coach, Steve Antonucci, was third. Freehold Township, Middletown North, Marlboro, and surprisingly for what it had been for a while, Howell bring up the rest of that division.
Yeah, Colts neck to me is intriguing because great year last year. I think LaCava, Coach LaCava, has turned that program around to be a perennial winner. You know, he's got a great back, Scott.
Anthony Gargiulo.
How can I mispronounce
You're never
going to
get that name right.
I mean, he's a good one, you know, over 1,000 last year and a great defensive player also. But, you know, goes out and you know, their non-conference schedule is good. You know, he's got a few Toms River schools. You know, he opens up against Toms River East. But I look for them to contend. But, you know, Manalapan to me is the class. If they could settle in on a quarterback, they have two, and they've been alternating them all preseason. Don't know, Scott, you may, if they have settled in on one. I think they're both going to play. And, you know, as I said in my blog this week, if you have the old adage is, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have any. I don't know if that's necessarily true in high school.
Well, as a Northwestern fan, I would beg to disagree, but that's a whole other tangent. But, no, I see what you're saying, especially when you have a weapon like Saeed Blacknall, head of the Rutgers. You know, you want to have quarterbacks who are going to be able to take advantage of a monster receiver like that who other teams can't even really double-team with a lot of success. But you just get the feeling this is Manalapan's year. They have 10 of 11 starters back on defense. They have Blacknall and a 1,300-yard rusher, Tyler Leonetti, back on offense. You know, they have R.J. Krause, a three-year tight end. And those guys, like, if it's going to happen for them, a 12-0 year, you figure it's got to be this season. But I certainly don't think it's going to be easy by any stretch. I think Middletown South is rearming, you know, which it's an amazing testament to their coaching staff. They still made a state final last year, and I almost thought that was like a transitional
season.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, and they have a tremendous sophomore class. Dylan and Cole Rogers, the younger brothers, twin brothers of Taylor Rogers, the former star wide out there. Mm-hmm. Great linebackers. They're going to play in the secondary, run the ball. I mean, they have a great sophomore class. A lot of them are going to start. And they have a great incoming freshman class, so they're ready to gear it back up. Plus, they have Kyle Bray, their senior quarterback, back after he really came on strong at the end of the year. And don't forget, they played Manalapan to a crazy game, 35-31 at the Swamp, and they had the ball like inside Manalapan's 20 in the waning seconds before a fumble. So don't think that it's going to be easy knocking them off to get that title again.
Yeah, you know what Middletown South does so well? Scott and Kevin, you'll agree. I think they play well in the big games.
Absolutely.
You know, especially at their home in the Swamp, which obviously no longer is a Swamp. They got AstroTurf there.
But is this division really top heavy?
This is
it's
loaded.
Those three teams that you mentioned all seem pretty much a cut above everyone else.
Yeah,
I agree. Of the next group, you know, if you were picking the fourth place team in that division, Scott, you know, out of Freehold Township, Middletown North, new coach, Marlboro, new coach, Howell, second year coach.
I think maybe Howell can make the jump. I mean, I know they really struggled last year, and their starting quarterback got hurt before the season started, and they kind of went into a tailspin and never really recovered under Coach Derek Reichenbecker. But I think with some players back this year and a little more consistency, I think they can make a hop up in the standings. Just, I mean, you look at Freehold Township lost so much to graduation. Middletown North, I guess Middletown North's kind of your wild card with new coach Steve Bush.
I like Middletown North maybe to, you know, only because of the coaching. By the way, we got to mention this, right, Kevin? One of the all-time greatest football coaches in Shore Conference history has just honored us with his presence, Bob Fiacco, in the house with his lovely wife, Diane.
I, you know what?
Except for
Facebook, I haven't seen a guy in 20 years. All right, we're going to take a break, top of the hour. When we come back, we do our regular feature We do each and every week. We spent a couple minutes talking with Monmouth University coach Kevin Callahan. Hawks getting set for their home opener on Saturday. It's just a little bit after 8 o'clock, and you're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on 105.7 The Hawk. Still coming up, a look at Class A South. That'll wrap up the division glance. Then we'll talk a little top 10, pick some of the games this weekend. Matt Harmon will join us a little bit later in the show. But along with Scott Stump and Ed Sarluka, we're delighted to welcome in the head coach of the Monmouth University Hawks in his 21st season and getting set for the home opener, Coach Kevin Callahan. And Coach, after trips to Montana and Virginia, nothing looks better than West Long Branch this Saturday, huh?
Nothing looks better than a good night's sleep, I can tell you that, guys.
Good to have you back, Coach, and welcome to another season for us. I know you're on every Tuesday night on the Shore Sports Network on 1160 and 1310 with Matt on the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show. Listened a little bit last night, and I know that for all of you involved, well, those two trips were great experiences in great environments. You really do have to be happy about being home this week.
We certainly are. I mean, they were two really long trips, but, you know, we got back, and, you know, we didn't get back until this last week, until about 7:30 a.m. Sunday morning, and, of course, the coaches had to go right back over to the office and start working for this week's game. And the week before that, we played on a Thursday night, and I think we rolled back into town about 10 o'clock on Friday. So it's been two long trips, but I'll tell you what, as you said, Kevin, they were well worth it. We played in some tremendous football venues. They do things the right way, terrific fan involvement. Everything about it was an excellent experience.
Of course, I know the one thing you would have liked to have had a little better are the results. I mean, you were considerable underdogs in both these games. But tell me what you got. What are the things that out of those two games that you were really happy with?
Well, I think, as any coach will tell you, you want to make sure that you're showing improvement from one week to the next. And I thought that, you know, when we went out and played Montana State, you know, we hit them and they were in full stride. And, you know, we made what I feel are some first game mistakes, some execution mistakes, and we completely turned that around going into week two. I also felt that after the Montana State game, our defensive front seven needed to be firmer. They needed to do a better job in the run game. And they dominated, especially the first half at Liberty. I thought those guys up front did a terrific job. You know, we still have some work to do on the defensive side, and we are working on it, and I think we'll be a much better team this Saturday. Offensively, you know, I thought we were able to run the ball well in Montana State, not so well in the Liberty game. But we saw some players start to emerge as receivers, Elijah Phillips, Mike McClafferty, Zach Fable, who are doing some great things for us.
Hey, Kev, Ed here. How did you like Lynchburg down there? I spent a lot of time down there. My daughter went to Lynchburg University, played field hockey down there, and I spent a lot of time there. Pretty nice city, huh?
I didn't get down to the city yet.
Yeah.
Hotel, and not much of a city there, I don't think. But
yeah, exactly.
We got to the campus, and it looks like everything was built yesterday. There's not
one
facility that's not brand new. And they have plans to expand even again. They're going to make their stadium a total capacity of 30,000 by next season. It's at 19,000 right now. They've got a jumbotron that would make Jerry Jones jealous. And to top it all off, I believe there are about 12,500 students.
Students, right? Exactly.
I would say 12,000 of them were at the game, right behind our bench.
Back to the team, you got a pretty nice find this summer in Brandon Hill, transfer from UMass. Tell us a little bit about your new quarterback.
Well, you know, as you said, Brandon came to us from UMass. He was looking for a new situation and, you know, just happened to call on us. And so we went into preseason practice. It was his first time with us, and it was going to be a learning experience. There was going to be certainly a learning curve there, and we thought that he picked up things very well. And through our preseason practices and scrimmages, he was the most consistent of our quarterbacks, and that's why we named him the starter, actually, after the first scrimmage. He's done a very good job. There's times he's made some poor decisions, as all quarterbacks do, but we're very happy with what he's doing. He's assimilated himself into the offense. He understands it. He's very meshed very well with the other players on our team, and you know, he's a true leader out there. And what I like most about him is his demeanor. He's very calm. He's very poised. He's a guy that doesn't get rattled.
Talking with Monmouth University head football coach Kevin Callahan. His Hawks hosting Lehigh Saturday at Kessler Field, 1 o'clock. Looks like a beautiful afternoon. Temperatures are going to drop, a real nice fall day, and get out and see Monmouth. Only 4 home games this year, so this is a great opportunity. And, Coach, I guess you can't blame anyone else for the schedule because it's your schedule. You knew it was going to be challenging, but after these first 2 road games that were difficult, it's not like you come home for easy pickings because, like in the case of the other 2 teams, you're playing a nationally ranked opponent in Lehigh on Saturday.
Yeah, you're right, Kevin, and this is the first time that we've played 3 nationally ranked teams in our first 3 games. And as you said, I did the scheduling, and I don't regret 1 minute of it. These are the type of teams that we need to play. These are the type of teams we want to play. These are the type of programs that Monmouth's going to be in the very near future. And I want our players to get a realistic taste of what it takes to compete at that level, of what it takes to win at that level. I also want our fan base and our administration to get a great understanding of what it takes to support a program at that level. And then we saw all of those things through the first 2 weeks. Lehigh comes in, they're number 19 in the nation. They had an exciting double overtime win over Central Connecticut last week, so they feel pretty good that they were able to pull out that win, and we're going to be challenged again.
And again, it's Saturday at Kessler Field. Looks like a beautiful day. Of course, if you can't make it out to the game, you can listen on the Shore Sports Networks, 1160 and 1310 AM, or shoresportsnetwork.com. Look forward to seeing you on Saturday, KC. I'll be up in the booth manning the PA responsibilities. Should be a beautiful day and a great home opener, and hopefully some of the Monmouth fans will come out and give you the support you deserve.
I think we're going to have a great crowd. We're really looking forward to playing at home in front of all of our fans. And, you know, our team is very excited about playing this Lehigh group.
Coach Cal, thanks so much. Good talking. You look forward to doing it every week.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Hi, Kevin Callahan, the Monmouth University head football coach. The Hawks on Saturday at home against Lehigh. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll look at Class A South, and then we'll have a little fun these last few minutes. I'll let you guys battle it out a little bit. I love watching that stuff. We'll do that all after this on the Investors Bank High School Football Show on 105.7 The Hawk. As it always does, the time moves fast. We move into Class A South, which last year, I guess part of the story, Scott, was Lacey's entry and domination. The Lions went 7-0 in A-South, 10-1 in overall, won the division title under their veteran and very successful coach Lou Versillo. Toms River North and Southern tied for second. Southern, of course, would go on to have a great run in the playoffs before losing in the sectional final. Toms River South, Brick Memorial, Jackson Memorial, Brick, and Toms River East, a division that is loaded with teams that have a lot of tradition. Some have had some lean years, but the story this year is
possibly the ascendance of Toms River South.
That's what I'm going to say, too, is Toms River South. I think they make a big, heavy run at Lacey this year. You know, Lacey has to be, you know, the favorite, you know, but I think Toms River South has the tools in place to get over the hump and have a big turnaround, you know, definitely a winning season and maybe a run at Lacey.
I mean, they're skill players. You could put that group up against any team.
Anybody
in the Shore Conference. You know, Tymir Berry at quarterback. I mean, once he moved into the lineup last year, they just really became an explosive unit. I mean, Darius Hart at receiver, Otis Carney and Russell Messler in the backfield. You know, Billy Koch back there. I mean, they are loaded at the skill spots. They made it back to the playoffs last year for the first time in a couple of years, so I think that was a really good experience. They gave Lacey all they could handle, you know, so they have the experience of playing them tough. It's just a question of can their defense come up with enough stops, because I thought that was the issue last year in some of their bigger games. And, you know, are they going to consistently block people up front against high-caliber teams, which it looks like they most likely are going to do. So, yeah. You know, the question is, can they go from 4 wins to 8 or 9?
I think they can. You know, I'll put the pressure on Coach Sig Jr. and say that they can make that big jump and be a challenger. However, personally, I think this division from top to bottom is the best in the Shore this year. I think there's more quality teams in this division. And I'm not saying that because, obviously, we're in Ocean County. You know, we're based here in Ocean County. But top to bottom, you know, there's not a whole lot of easy football games in the division. Brick is going to be very good because of the transfer, Carmen Scalfani from Toms River North, and also the assistant coach, Chip Labarca Jr., comes over to run the offense that he was so successful with last year at North. Toms River East, you never know about East. Toms River schools have taken a hit in the last couple of years. Could East make a
good
run?
Good running back.
Yeah, good Zach is as good as they come in the Shure Conference.
Rick Memorial has
Brick
as
Memorial
one of the
back.
Shure's better athletes in Mike Basile and a winning program.
Right. I think the question is, you know, which team are they? Are they the team that started 5-0 last year or the team that fell off the cliff and lost their last five games? I mean, granted, they lost some people, but, you know, a good core of that team is back. And are they going to prove to be the team that was just lighting people up offensively? And with Basile, they certainly have that kind of weapon. The question for them is, are they going to stop people? You know, in big
right.
games, can they slow down a Toms River South enough? You know, or is that going to be their Achilles heel?
Yeah, I think Basile, without a doubt, could be, you know, one of the top two all-around
He's
players.
He's a Player of the Year candidate
in the Shure because he does everything. He has, you know, and I've seen a lot of their scrimmages this year, but he has the best closing speed of any safety I have seen in a long time. And, of course, that's the position he will probably play in college. But he could go the distance. He went to, I think, three combines in the summer, was the most valuable player at all three.
However, the marquee player in the division is the wide receiver slash tight end from Southern Regional High School, Mike Gazicki, who can go anywhere he wants, you know, and his, and depending on the order you want to put him, but among his final candidates, Ohio State, Wisconsin, Penn State, Miami, Rutgers, you know, and there were a lot of other ones he left off that list. Southern Regional, you know, they've got to be mentioned in this breath because Chuck Donahue Sr. has just done a great job, and there's a program there. They're a program now.
Yeah, they should never be overlooked. I think they've kind of made people look dumb who've underestimated them the last couple of years. And, you know, I think this year they certainly have the capability. They had a tremendous senior class last year, one of the most winning senior, you know, groups that they've had to come through there. So the question is, does that mass exodus, does that depth hurt them? But they've replaced a 1,000-yard running back. You know, last year, you know, Gonzalez had a huge season.
Sure did.
You know, replacing another good running back from the year before. So, Gesicki is such a game-changing weapon that you could be outplaying them, and then one deep ball, boom, 6'6", 220 pounds, 35-inch vertical goes right over your defense, and they beat you. So,
who gets him the ball, though, Scott?
Well, I mean, Luke Sheehan
has moved
to the QB. He's a good athlete who's now playing quarterback.
He's a good athlete at quarterback. And Southern's thing is to always establish the run game, which they usually do a good job of. So their thing is they're going to make you respect that run game. And if you don't, they will pound it down your throat and beat you. So it's a, you know, it's a question of, you know, do you sell out on Gesicki and they beat you with a run? But I think they've shown they can reload the program when guys graduate.
Lacey, who we touched on briefly, who are the players?
Tom Kelly, obviously, I thought was right in the Player of the Year discussion, their senior quarterback last year until he fractured his collarbone. Made an amazing recovery just to come back before the end of the season. But a fully healthy Kelly in Corey Davies' offense, second year in that. Christian Tutella, an all-Shure talent, the Swiss Army knife of the Shure Conference. He punts. He's a D-back. He's a wide receiver.
Like
he runs
too.
The ball.
Did you come up with that, by the way? That's good.
He threw two touchdown passes last year on trick plays. I mean, he does it all. So I think he is another guy to watch. It's a question of do you replace Kyle Spatz in the backfield, you know, a two-time 1,000-yard rusher, and a few key guys defensively. And they have to shore up the run defense, which I think really was their undoing ultimately in the loss to Kingsway in the semifinals of the playoffs last year.
Jackson Memorial, one of those teams, kind of a question mark. Nobody really knows much about it.
Well, lost their quarterback, transferred to Manalapan.
Yep.
That hurt. They invested a little time in him last year.
Although he split
sophomore.
With Joe DiMeo, who's also back. But you're right. I think they played a lot of sophomores last year. And, you know, they have an underrated player, I think, named Marcus Adamalola, who's a tight end, you know, wide out type, who already has an offer from University of Pennsylvania. I think he's a guy to keep an eye on. Ken Bradley, obviously, their senior linebacker, one of the Shure's
real
best.
Good, yeah.
But I think their big problem was scoring against good teams. You know, if you're going to compete for a division title, you've got to find a way to get a couple touchdowns against a Lacey or a Brick Memorial or Brick, and that's going to be their challenge coming into the season.
So you both agree that Lacey probably rates the role as the favorite, but you both also like Toms River South to be right there.
I hate to underestimate Southern. I really do, because I like their program a lot. But, I mean, a lot of signs are pointing to this being the year Toms River South takes that huge jump back into the elite of the Shore Conference.
This also may be the one where Brick goes from really far in the bottom of the division right into the thick of things, and Toms River North, who would normally be in the top part of the division, probably fights for W's with all of the changes.
You know what? I still think
through.
The future is bright for Toms River
North.
Even though all those players
away.
Left, they still have plenty of talent. They're just young.
Exactly. Absolutely. They need a little time.
And keep an eye on Adam Kakar, their junior defensive lineman. He's going to be one of the best in the Shore. He's been starting since his freshman year.
All right. So that's sort of a thumbnail as we kind of run through the divisions. And it's a good time to welcome in our colleague normally with us. But on Wednesday night, he's a professor. I guess I don't know if you call professor. Teacher.
No, it's a professor.
Professor? Okay.
On,
all right. Yeah. I don't want at Monmouth University, he's the play-by-play voice of the Shore Sports Network, one of the busiest guys you'll ever hear in radio, and that is Matt Harmon. Mateo, good evening.
Hello, boys. How are you tonight?
We missed you. Nobody ate healthy because you weren't here tonight.
Ed ordered a burger in your name and ate it.
Well, while you've been working, we've been playing, and talk a little bit about the Shore. Now, Matt, I want you to sit back a little bit and just spend a couple minutes with me, because we're going to give Ed and Scott a couple of minutes just to battle it out on their preseason top tens. Well, fellas, without going into great detail, go ahead.
Top four are pretty easy, you know, RBC, Manalapan, Lacey, and Middletown South, right?
I will say that it's still even a first that you and I agreed on four teams, so I think that's a pretty landmark event
away. Then it gets kind of different for us. I put Barnegat as the number five team. I put some pressure on Robbie Davis. I believe you have Brick Memorial.
Right. Yeah, again, I think I'm with you in the sense of after four, I just kind of started throwing teams out there and seeing what sticks.
Now, I know some of our listeners can't believe that Scott put Brick Memorial up there.
I know.
And I don't even have them in
parallel
my top
universe.
10. You know I have some blood at Brick Memorial. But anyway, I have Colts Neck in there. I have Ocean in there. Also, Toms River South Shore and Southern Regional. I think that's a good 10 schools in there. Don't know if anybody's going to touch the top four, though.
Yeah, I think the top four is a fairly solid group, although, you know, anybody, you know, you could
some
certainly
of them play
see,
each other.
You could see Middletown South beating Manalapan.
Yeah.
I mean, four beating two is not
right,
shocking.
Right,
And like we just talked about, Lacey's good, but, you know, Tom River South.
Four,
I mean, I think the real thing that when I was trying to evaluate this was, okay, did the teams from last year that finished in the top ten, like a Colts Neck or a Neptune, or a Long Branch, did they lose too much to graduation to bring back, or will they be fine? And did the teams that only won four games or three games last year, like Toms River South and Brick, are they going to be capable of doubling that or more this year? I think that was kind of the tricky part of who's going to make the quantum leap and who might fall back in the pack.
I'll ask you both real quick right now before Matt and we join, we pick some of the games this week. Give me a team not in your top 10 that has the greatest potential to not only get in the top 10, but not be number 10, but maybe move up to 7, 6, 5. Could be the real surprise of the year.
For me, that would be Toms River South.
Okay.
I'll go Brick.
All right. So a pair of A-South traditional schools. Okay. Matt, how are you? Listen,
Is it true? Did I hear it correctly that Ed doesn't even have Brick Memorial in his top 10?
That is correct, Matthew.
Now, we believe that there's an ulterior motive. We believe that the Brick Memorial people paid him to keep him out of the top 10, but that is true.
I was going to say it would make sense that if they did win in week one, he could write this unbelievable headline of not even being top 10 to being now number three, fastest rising team in Shore competition.
Yeah, they go right to the top spot if they upset Brick.
No doubt.
Yeah, there you go. By the way, we will congratulate Matt. Matt is the defending champ in our football picks.
Did he win?
Absolutely. I double-checked that all of last year's. Matt last year, when it was the three of us, Matt was 53-30. He was a game ahead of both you and I, and we all kind of spit the bit in that last weekend, championship weekend. But we start with a new season, and it's now a quartet because Scott's going to chime in every week. It's the pick six plus one. Here we pick seven games we think are, you know, among the most competitive, most meaningful, most interesting, whatever it is. And we start with the game we'll broadcast on Friday night, when we'll be at Joseph J. Boyd Memorial Field, where the Golden Eagles of Central host the Indians of Toms River South. And, Matt, I'm going to let you go first.
That's going to be a Custard wouldn't be happy with this one, because the Indians will roll.
Okay. Ed?
Indians, easy.
Scott?
Toms River South.
Yeah, I hate to pick against my alma mater, but I got to in this case. Toms River South makes it a four-peat. Rumson at Shore, I think one of the better games of week one, and where you'll be, Scott, on Friday night. I'll go first. I got to tell you, I struggle with this one a little bit. I think kind of a toss-up game, but I'm going to give the new coach a win in his coaching debut, Brian Batchelor. I think Rumson wins in a close, low-scoring game.
Well, I was just going to say, I think Shore will see the ball better this year, right, Scott?
They have new lights. They upgraded their lights from 1938.
I'm going to go with the Blue Devils. I believe in Mark Constantino.
Scott?
I think I was at this game last year, and it was a classic 13-10 overtime game. I think Rumson's going to pull it out again in a grinded-out defensive game.
Matthew?
I will go with Ed in this one. I will take Shore.
Okay, 2-2.
Smart move, man.
So that is obviously a very competitive game, as do we expect this one to be. Manasquan at Long Branch, a non-divisional matchup, but a very good one at the home of the Green Wave. Scott, I'm going to let you go first.
This was another great week one battle last year. I'm going to go with the home team, Long Branch, you know, springing a big run here. That might be the difference.
I'm going to take Long Branch as well. Ed?
I'm going to take the Big Blue Warriors, Manasquan.
Matt?
I'll take Long Branch in this one. I think both teams, though, going into it, I'm not sure that either team really has it figured out what they're going to be from what I've heard. You know, there's some injuries on both sides, but I'll go with the home side and take Long Branch.
Jackson Liberty at Wall, of course. Jackson Liberty, with all the stuff we talked about in the passing of Tim Osborne, tough spot here. Ed, you're up first.
Oh, that's a tough one. I'm not sure if either team is a quality team. I'll go with the visitors here. Don't ask me why. Jackson Liberty, little inspiration.
Scott?
Yeah, I'm with Ed in that this is a really difficult one, definitely a toss-up game. I think Wall, with all the returners and the experience, they squeeze one out. I'll go with Wall.
Matt?
I will take Wall on that one as well. But, again, same kind of theme. Both teams with a lot of question marks. I'm not sure if the emotion of Jackson Liberty carries them through in this one.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Ed on this one. I took Jackson Liberty, but I think it's a toss-up. Good one Saturday afternoon. Brick Memorial at Brick. It was a classic a year ago. And, Ed, I'm going to let you go first.
I'll take the Mustangs in an upset, because I think Brick, for the first time in about 5 or 6 years, will be the favorite in this football game. I'll go with the visiting Mustangs.
And I will as well. Scott?
I can't rank Brick Memorial in my top 10 and not pick them week one, so I'm going to Mustangs.
Matt, are you going to make it a four-way battle?
Matt's picking Brick.
I'm going to pick against all of you guys. I'm going to take Brick in this one, be a little different, try and mix it up.
Interesting game a year ago, Homedale at Barnegat. Of course, Homedale upsetting Barnegat in week one last year. I don't think they do it two in a row. I'm going to take Barnegat in this one.
Yeah, I believe Barnegat will avenge that upset loss. Big year for the Bengals of Barnegat.
Matt?
I'll take Barnegat in that one, too. I don't think it happens 2 years in a row.
Yeah, I think they're just two different teams this year, so I'm going with Barnegat.
And finally, we go to Class B Central, Asbury Park and Keyport. I kind of put this on the sketch on the because I don't know. I don't really know. I'm very, very confused. So I'm going to start first, and I'm going to take Asbury Park, and I have no idea why. Matt,
I'll go with you, Kevin, in that one. No real rationale to it at all, but I'll take Asbury Park too. Just probably based more on recent success than anything else.
Scotty?
I think Alex Thompson's a great quarterback on Keyport, but they just didn't protect him in big games I saw last year, so I'm going Asbury.
Ed, it's you.
Do we really know anything about Keyport? They're so far up there, you know. I'm going with
Alex
Thompson.
They employed you at one point.
Yeah,
so
they did. That was
program.
A great move by the Red Raiders.
Taking,
I'm taking Keyport.
In it. All right, so there you go. So that's it. Matt, we look forward to actually seeing you in person Friday night when we're at Central Regional for the opener against Toms River South.
I'm looking forward to it, guys. Thanks for including me for a couple minutes.
All right, that's our main man, Matt Harmon. Guys, it flies by. We're out of time here. Want to thank our host, as always, at the Water Street Bar and Grill right here in Toms River. What a great place to go, and right on the water here and right across from where I work, which is really nice. Tom Tremblay for his outstanding job here. Ray Malaspina back at the studios of 105.7 The Hawk. Ed and Scott, thank you so much. Enjoy doing it. Look forward to all fall long. And by the way, All Shore Review, your preview issue is out or will be out in all the...
It's already in all the high schools, and it'll be out at the Super Wawas, the ones with the gas stations, by tomorrow and Friday.
And all of Monmouth and Ocean County, you got to get it. It's a must. I think it's 68 pages, chock full of great information. You keep it all year long. You can also get it on the website at allshoremedia.com. That's Scott Stump. For Ed, I'm Kevin. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next week. You've been listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on 105.7 The Hawk.